Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Pacifica National Board Programming Committee. This is August 22nd, 2021. This is Sunday. The time is 1:53 Eastern, and I shall call the roll. Let's see. Jack Devine, WBAI. Jack, I do not hear you. Okay. Jose Gutierrez. From KAOS. Jose, I do not hear you. Okay, Wally James from KPFT?
Here.
Wally is here. Okay, Thomas O'Rourke from WPFW?
Present.
Thomas is present. Okay, Lydia Ponce from KPFK?
Present.
Lydia is present. Ralph Pointer from WBAI?
Present.
Ralph is
I'm
present.
Here.
Yes. And Lawrence Reyes from KPFK. Lawrence, I do not hear you. Nancy Sabar Naritomi from KPFT, I'm here. Sharon Salam from WBAI.
I'm here.
Sharon is present. Frank Sterling from KPFA. Frank, I do not hear you. Tom Borges from KPFA.
Tom is here.
Tom is here. Harvey Wasserman from KPFK. Harvey, I do not hear you. And we have quorum. We've got seven present. Great. Okay. Did everybody get the agenda? And the first thing on the... Everybody?
Nobody? No.
Somebody missing? Who's no? Sharon? Okay, let me,
yes.
Let me send it to you. With somebody... We'll send
Nancy, did you send it as an email this morning?
Yes. At
okay.
First time was, I think, 12:53. Wait a minute. Oh, here I see it. 12:09. No.
All right. I'll check that.
Eastern.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to resend to everybody again right now. Okay, I just resent. It's now 12:56. 6:05. 6. Okay. Well, let me read it for the public. People in the public, if you want me to send you an agenda, send an email to me. It's Nancy Saibara, no, Nancy.Saibara, S-A-I-B-A-R-A, at iCloud.com. Nancy.Saibara, B like Beatles, A-R-A, at iCloud.com, and I'll send you an agenda. Okay. The public is welcome during the meeting, and you have something to say public, say your name and get on the stack, or your radio name, or your station name, whatever. Let's see. We have done roll call. Okay, I'm very sorry. Minutes not ready of last time, and last time was a non-quorum meeting. The time before that, those minutes are not ready yet. Okay, agenda. Number one on the agenda, motion for local program oversight or programming committee. We have not decided what to call it, but anyway, this was presented by Sharon Salam. Sharon, would you like to motivate it and read it? Have you gotten the agenda yet, Sharon? Maybe not. Okay, I'm gonna read it. Whereas the primary product of a broadcast organization is its programming. And whereas the Pacifica Foundation bylaws expressly require each local station board to work, this is letter G of the duties of the LSB, ABCDFG, okay, to work with station management to ensure that station policies and procedures for making programming decisions and for program evaluation are working in a fair, collaborative, and respectful manner to provide quality programming. That's unquote. All right. Be it resolved that the Pacifica National Board Programming Committee recommends to the Pacifica National Board that it direct each station board, and it says by January 2021, we'll change that date, to recommend to establish an open programming committee or programming oversight committee. We haven't really decided what to call it yet. Or conform its existing committee. Now, KPFK has a programming oversight committee, and WPFW has. The other three stations do not. Okay. To conform its existing committee to provide oversight, and I put in brackets assistance. All right, I just added that word assistance. Now, if the committee doesn't like that, we'll take it off. But anyway, I just thought that might be a good word to put in. Of the station's programming, including but not limited to, number one, how programming needs are determined. This is our input and our assistance and our oversight. Number two, how shows and programmers are selected. Number three, what programming agreements are made. Number four, how shows are scheduled and preempted. Number five, how programmers are educated and supported. Number six, how program success is measured and evaluated. And number seven, how listener feedback is obtained and shared via a survey, an email, a snail mail, and report to the membership and to the programmers. Number eight, how programming decisions are appealed, grieved, challenged. If a show suddenly disappears, well, the programming committee would be assisting or overseeing those things. How programs are moved, extended, lengthened, and or removed. Number 10, how to organize. I added, this is in bracket now, anything in bracket I have added to try to summarize what was said before in previous meetings or what was suggested. How to organize and liaison student integration, both with public affairs and arts and music, with teachers and or school relationships. And number 10, this is also bracketed, number 11, how to promote programs in liaison with the outreach committee. And number 12, this is also a new thing I put in bracket, how to support visual and audio programming from the entire Pacifica network with expressions for radio and or blind audience with short captions, translations in several languages to include the deaf audience and international audience. Organizing volunteer translator teams. Okay, this is a big reach, but I mean, if we're going to compete with other media out there, we have to become digitalized, and what they won't do is captions. We could do captions in several languages. Okay, number 13, how to support ongoing commentary from listeners in a secure platform. Other than Facebook, I mean, we can find a more secure platform. This is just things that, suggestions that the programming committee would do. Number 14, also in bracket, how to organize and nurture a training program with training videos and expertise for visual and audio production. And number, I went back to 13, it should be 15 here. How to promote understanding, improvement, and creativity by reporting to and exchanging info with programmers. This would be number 16, although I have the number 14 there. How programs are evaluated. Organizing evaluations for recommendations to the PD, because this is the PD's job, one of his job descriptions. He's supposed to make, he or she is supposed to make evaluations, but a lot of them, you know, have too busy to do them. So the program committee could assist in doing that. How to liaison with environmental or social justice advocates and or nonprofits for informative journalism. And here's the rules, nitty-gritty, not nitty-gritty, but requires that the general manager or interim general manager attend or arrange the participation of the interim or program director at committee meetings that shall occur at least monthly. At least two board members must be members of the committee through volunteering or elections, and any person who attends the inaugural meeting or subsequently attends three consecutive meetings and signs the attendance sheet at each in-person meeting, or identifies himself or herself to the chair or secretary at each virtual meeting, becomes a voting member at the beginning of the third meeting, so they can vote on the third meeting. Anyone missing three consecutive meetings loses their membership at the end of that third meeting. And they could also reapply again, you know, start over. The public comment shall be welcomed at each meeting and by announcements. I forgot to put that in bracket, but I mean, I did add that. Okay. That's it. It's a long thing. And we've been working on this for over a year. From last year's, it started around June, and then here we are in August of this year. Mm-hmm. Okay, I open the floor for comments, suggestions, something we left out.
Nancy, I have a question. This is O'Rourke. Is this the based on the motion Sharon had written up from the BAI?
Yes.
It is? Okay. Why?
Yes.
Is it the same? I don't have hers in front of me, but.
No, I have added in brackets. When I added something that I just summarized and put in, I put brackets on the side. So it's the same thing, plus anything in bracket is going to be an addition. I didn't take anything out, though, of what her original.
Okay. It sounds like you kept the whole kitchen sink proverbially because, you start talking about the membership requirements of the committee rather than, say, focus on its purpose. And, you know, that's all of these are good, you know, good things to have. Let me tell you that the program committee in PFW has been around. I mean, we've had very equivocal success because of our possibly because of our relationship with the program director, although we've made, you know, sporadic efforts to improve it. I mean, consistent efforts to improve it, but it's you know, it's still been sort of a slow slog. But these are this sort of backup would be excellent for all stations to go for, and I think it's and knowing after all the participation of this committee that three out of the five stations don't have anything comparable to a program committee or more strongly the program council of the New York era, which they will tell you is has gone by the wayside, but it did exist for quite a while and did have some impact because it included the community and and maybe our colleagues in New York can comment on that, but certainly this is a good thing to have as a national aspiration, and we would then have to sort of make sure that it's being implemented in each of the stations. So I'm certainly in principle for this. I think the motion itself probably could be, whittled down back to close to what Sharon said and forget the membership stuff right now. You know, I mean, that's sort of what we have in program committees anyway, isn't it? Three absences officially, yeah. So it's a little repetitious, but in any case, if you had to trim it down, I'd go that way. But like I said, I support the motion in principle. On all counts. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Thomas. And I want to tell everybody, this was at all the stations at one time. KPFD, they lost it after February 2012. That was the last time we had a program council. And it was not wanted by the manager at that time, nor the program director. And we could not get the votes in the LSB to resurrect it. So that's and people are fighting it at KPFT. I'm telling you, we can't get it done, and I cannot see it getting done from the grassroots level. But I do see hope if we can get the PMB to vote on this, then KPFT would get it that way from the top down, and KPFA and WBAI that would help them. I mean, it would be a mandate. You'd have to do it. Okay.
No, matter.
Who is that?
This is Raymond Goldstone at KPFT.
Oh, Raymond. Okay, go ahead, Raymond.
I'm sorry to say that PNB's aspirations don't translate into management's action. I should add quickly that at KPFK, the LSB has voted the following, and that is the number of non-LSB numbers is limited to one less than the number of LSB members. There's nothing, I mean, if you have the three consecutive calls, that's very nice, but if you're the fourth person and there are two LSB members, you've made three calls that were interesting.
Does anyone in the committee want to comment on this? And could you hear him correctly, clearly? Did everybody have trouble? I had trouble hearing it. Go ahead, Sharon. Go ahead.
No, I had trouble understanding what he was saying.
Okay. At KPFK, the LSB has made a rule that to limit the number of non-LSBs in their programming committee. So,
oh, you know,
Roman, go ahead, Raymond.
All the committees, but we're talking about the program oversight committee.
But in all the committees, it's like this?
Yes.
Then you're restricting the public, the non-LSBs. You're making a very small committee.
No kidding.
Sorry, I'm surprised. I thought it was just the programming. Okay, how does the committee, Sharon, did you understand? So one less than the number of LSBs in the committee. That's the limit of the number of non-LSBs joining committee. This is not
well,
good.
Well, you know, I have always been one for inclusion because the bottom line for all of our stations is community participation. That's where we get our funds. That's where we do quite a few things, and we need to encourage people to continue to donate to the various stations, and to do more of that would be to involve them in so that they can take ownership of what's happening within the station itself. And many of the questions that come up are questions around programming. And what's happening with the programming, what's happening with the programmers, shows being switched here and there with no rhyme or reason. You just, you know, you turn on one show one week and the next day, the next week it's gone. So if we had things in place to help that make sense, it would help all of our stations to prosper. And it would give programmers also a means to understand how things are working within the station management itself, instead of having just this haphazard thing that's going on. You don't know how you're doing. You don't know anything. All you know is that you've just been changed from one thing to the next. We need to work with some kind of order within our further stations.
The tragedy of Randy Critico in New York shows that we need this.
Is it still off? Is this show still off?
Yes.
Ranch Predico. Still?
Yes.
Wow.
Could Brother Ralph explain what he means? What happened to Randy?
They cut his program, and it was doing very well financially and participants in. And they never gave a reason. And so this
who
type
is
of
they?
Thing. The management of BAI. And, you know, it's a disgusting thing, not only for the listener, but for the person who has the program. You put a lot into it, so he just switched to another station. For, you know, and it's, and he's still angry about it, as he should be. So, this sort of thing, it's time for this smoke. I just put that in as an example. There are other examples. But, you know, I go on and on. And that's what happened to, I think, the whole Pacifica State, the whole Pacifica Foundation. There's too many good programs are cut. Listenership has been cut for a lot of reasons. If you have good programming, don't worry about listenership. And so, yes, right. There has to be oversight on programming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And one of the main things that our listeners want is also to feel involved. Like when we go to the meetings that we're having, oftentimes they come and they want to know how they can get involved, how they can, you know, get resolutions, how they can work to improve the programming, how they can do various things. But it's like no mechanism. And when you start limiting their input, then you say, well, our listenership is down. This could be one of the reasons why your listenership is down, because people don't feel included in the processes of what's going on to the station. We're supposed to be having evaluations of our GM. We're supposed to be having evaluations of our various programs. We're supposed to be able to give people support for their programs, give them a heads up or heads down so that they know what they need to do to improve things around their programs and other things that's happening within, let's say, the station in general. But that's not happening. The only thing they know is one day someone comes up and their program is cut.
Okay.
That needs to change.
That we have to address. After National Programmers Bill of Rights, and that I need a list of all the programs that have been cut and what people think are unfairly or that the community needs. I didn't make further down the agenda a list of shows, but I don't know the other stations. I only know what I've heard, but I'm sure I'm missing because I don't know in depth. So from each station, could you make a little list of shows that have been cut? That's why we need a programming committee so we can discuss and put input.
But if we don't have like a uniform voice for all the stations, it's still a haphazard thing that's happening even when you have that list. You know, like we have some stations that have been on programs for 5 years, 10 years, been in the same spot, and all of a sudden they're moved somewhere else. And no one's informed that they're being moved. The person who's doing the program is not informed, nor are the listeners. People are still turning in, trying to hear that particular program. And then you wonder why people aren't listening, why people aren't sending their money in. We got to get beyond that and start showing people that we are trying to put together some kind of working order that works well to maintain the station. Because right now we're not doing it.
Okay, let's see. How can we put the wording so that at the top part, it said, can conform its existing committee to provide oversight and assistance of the station's programming, including but not limited to. And then we had around 14, 15, 16, 17 points. Then at the end it says, and requires, and then the design of the committee, which does allow for non-LSBs. There's nothing in here that we are stopping anybody from coming. See, any person who attends the inaugural meeting. Okay, so this is required. Okay, instead of and requires, and must require about the meeting configuration. Shall we put that word, or shall, and shall require?
Thomas to the side.
Yes, Thomas.
Well, I think we need to be pretty clear-eyed about this motion. I've already experienced the feedback, so I can anticipate. I'm going to say a couple of things that might seem to be putting cold water on it. But as I said, I support the motion in principle anyway. But just the experience in Washington, the program committee that has a very tempestuous relationship with the program director, and it got to the point where there was no, we never met with the program director, but the general manager a few years ago attended a couple of meetings and basically voiced the age-old concern that management will always express, doesn't matter what station you're at, is, we're professionals hired, quote-unquote professional, you know, media people, hired to do a job, and then it's difficult when people, non-professionals, people that don't, they'll say, you know, they don't bother to do much in the terms of research, or they, you know, as they get to know people, you know, they might realize someone knows a little more than the normal non-professional, but they'll say it's a question of the divide between professional and non-professional. And that's an age-old issue in Pacifica, as we see. I mean, as a matter of fact, I think the whole referendum impetus is, you know, is led by people that believe they're the radio professionals and want to, you know, make the system and network more efficient and, you know, despite all this damn inefficient democracy and stuff and people getting their two cents in. So we're going to hear that. But as I say, as a statement of principle, and the other thing is that someone will quote the bylaws that says programming committees or something that the entity that we're talking about is to, and I remember Serene Roberts making a comment recently at a meeting we had last maybe a month ago. We should be focusing not on the mechanics of day to day stuff, but you know, sort of the programs that meet the overall mission, et cetera. In other words, we're not, you know, the program director is probably never going to, concede that their role is superseded by a program committee. They'll probably never do that. And that's not to say it won't be, you know, we should, you know, back down. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that we should, in sort of general terms, the mission statements, but also sort of the equal treatment of programmers up until the point that, you know, they're, for example, a program can continue even if its time and date of the week is changed. Now, a lot of programmers don't like that, but that might very, you know, in the effort to develop, say, a higher listenership through strip programming, that might be what a program director and management, feel compelled to do, to change things around. I don't know all the details of the Houston issue when that happened recently, but apparently what did happen was programmers didn't lose their shows, they were just upset at the changes, and that's fine. They could be upset, but there's going to have to be a way for them to sort of liaison and either, you know, where they keep their shows, but have to, you know, are relegated to HD. I don't, you know, that can happen. I'll stop here, but ask, does BAI have HD channels going, and any programs that are sort of taken off the terrestrial airwaves, are they ever told you'll be on the HD schedule, and is that happening yet? Because obviously the HD universe that each station should have two or three or four HD channels if they have even one would allow for these shows at least to be there'd be a reason to produce them, there'd be a reason to archive them, even if they're not making enough money to justify them being occupying the terrestrial airwaves, but it could also be kind of like the soccer where the last place teams get relegated to the lower level and there's a every year there's a promotion of say second tier programming, not to say it's quality, but just it happens to be in an HD channel exclusively, for that to be promoted up. As an idea, because I want to defend programmers and their rights, but the time and date of their show is something that management is going to have to, they have to have some input because, you know, and I'm not defending that per se, but they're going to insist on that. And we have to make sure that the programmer rights, you know, that the fundamental rights of the programmer are observed and defended without getting caught up in some of this day-to-day minutia. That's all I'll say. Thank you.
You know, part of what I'm talking about here is that it's no problem with them changing the time of the show or moving it around. That's not the problem in itself. The problem is the way that they're doing it.
Sure.
You see what I'm saying? So they're going
to
do what they're
going to do. Yes, usually dictatorial. I agree with you, Sharonda.
Yeah, but they should be able to come in and say, just like they're not doing evaluations of the various shows.
Right.
So then one thing just seems to be happening in a vacuum. And in some of our stations, we are not evaluating the GMs either. So it seems like everything's happening in a vacuum. But that needs to change so that that makes some kind of sense, you know, that they're moving the shows. And even if they move the show, they should be able to say, like they do sometimes I've seen on TV, this show is going to be aired at, instead of 6 o'clock, it's going to be aired at 10 p.m. on Thursday night. But sometimes that's not said either.
Sometimes it's what? What did you say? I didn't hear the word.
That is not said either. The show is just moved.
Oh, it's not even announced. I see.
It's not announced. It's just no longer there. You don't know where the show is. And sometimes the producers of the show, they come in to work on their shows, and they find out when they walk in that the show is no longer at this time. They've already, you know, they've come in from some distance, but even if they came from across the street, that there should be another way to handle that. That's all that people say. Because we understand that the people in charge are going to be making these decisions, that there's a way to make the decision that makes sense for everybody.
If I may add something to that.
Yes,
you know,
go
it's
ahead,
one
speaker.
Thing to make it's one thing. This is Lydia. It's one thing to make changes, you know, but it's another to have tenacity to follow through, because if we treat people less than they are deserving, of course they're not going to support the radio station. And what we need to do is perhaps have recommendations to what's supposed to happen, the support for that program that's moved, or you know, make announcements. And I've known that these things happen, and it's not okay. It's never okay to disrespect people's efforts and disrespect people. And we're not going to move forward if we don't try to solve the problem. Now that we know what the issue and the problem is, then I would suggest that we put something forth as a support for the program that has moved, or just simply make announcements that it's no longer on the air. Something to that effect. Thank you.
This is Wally. Can I get in on this?
Yes, Wally, go ahead.
Yeah, we just had those changes, well, not that long ago at KPFT, and our show was moved to a different time slot, and the thing is that you lose your audience. If you're on in the day and you moved at night, or you're on at night and moved in the day, people can't always listen. So you wind up having, well, some of the people will tune in where you are, but you have to develop a new audience. But for a lot of shows, they were just plain taken off the air. Now, with pressure, some of those have been put back on and some of them haven't been put back on. And maybe there's, you know, maybe there's a good reason shows weren't raising enough money or whatever, but I feel like the process wasn't there. That there should have been you know, consultation with the programmer saying, you know, you're not raising that much money, you need to try harder, and it's just like out of the blue, you're off, or your time has been moved, and you're, you know, at 10 o'clock at night.
I wholeheartedly agree with you, sir.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly
that
agree with
so
you.
That is so true.
That's horrible. Thank you.
Thomas, to the side.
Wally, are you have anything more to say?
Yeah, that's basically it.
Okay. Who's next? Thomas, is that you?
Yeah, I just follow up. If the BAI people could answer the question of as to if there's an HD grid, first off, and also the idea occurred to me that listening to this, and I understand the arbitrariness and the frustration of programmers, it very well could be that we put in this motion or a subsequent motion to try to limit that sort of disruption and anarchy that maybe three or four times a year the grid, you know, be reevaluated, so that there would only be changes to the grid in sort of these windows, which would also be a period of a lot of promotional, you know, information. Carts developed to maybe by the programmer to say, hey, my 7 a.m. show is moving to 9 p.m. In 3 weeks, or things like that. In other words, that the changes could be made much less arbitrary and much more friendly to listener and programmer alike by insisting that program directors and general managers make these changes you know, within specified, pre-specified calendars of, you know, so that it would make our network look a lot more professional and consistent if, in fact, listeners were sort of became aware that any changes would happen in certain, the spring. I don't know, the spring equinox or the summer solstice or the fall, you know, whatever. In other words, to three, four times a year would be the programmer director's window to, not to say you encourage it, but to that they could only sort of be moved from one to another for, you know, maybe subsequent right after pledge drives or whatever, but that there be some, there be a method there that, as I said, programmers and listeners were respected by and informed by, and also that would contain the time to make these grid change announcements instead of them just disappearing, instead of a show just disappearing and someone who's curious about it having to either go to the web to find out where it is airing or, so in other words, you know, and that these, and any changes in the grid only occur three or four times a year in, you know, and certain, say, 2 week windows. That would be, I think, a good aspiration that many of the networks, many of the people across the network would say, hey, you know, that's, you know, we could live with that. And it would make our network look and sound more more listener friendly and programmer friendly. What? I'll shut up. Thank you.
Well, that's an obvious solution, or the direction of a solution. I concur.
Okay.
Great minds think alike, Ralph. You know that. I'm teasing.
I hear you.
Please, everybody, send me a list of the shows that have been suddenly gone, removed, even if it's in the past. I just put down a small list of shows that I knew about. I said Guns and Butter, Work Week, this is at KPFA, TwitWit, see what else. Oh, I'll add Randy Credito's show. And then I said around 20 shows at KPFT were moved to HD. You know, when and you know, when a show is moved, there should be some announcement like, oh, you're tuning in to such and such show. This slot was, you know, previously by such and such show, which has moved, and then tell, you know, where their new place is, because if somebody tuned in and, oh, this is, where's my show? Where did it go? And I don't think it was done very nicely, because, or even evenly, because I heard Saeed of Arab Voices say, now, if you're tuning in at this time, the such and such show, which had this slot, is now moved to a different day, different time. Very sorry. Anyway, he made an announcement at the beginning, and he did that for about 2 or 3 weeks, and then he stopped doing it. But and another music programmer did do that. But I didn't hear everybody. I mean, it should have been at least, you know, you do things like that. Okay, let's get this, work on this program council, because this will get a way to have a group, a community group, and this is where listener input would come in. And if this passes, it would supersede what the LSV at KPFK has decided to limit its number of non-LSVs. I think find that very strange, because how can you get input if you limit them, the number that can join the committee and can even vote? This is not a committee that decides programming. This is a committee that helps to promote and improve and work with the programmers. This is an assistant to help, you know, get the kids in. And the kids don't want to come in because they want something fancier that they can learn at the university, digital. So we have to really change our programming or remain the same as terrestrial only. We're just going to shrink and shrink and shrink until there's no more people with silver hair left to fund it. We have to embrace new things. But let's get this programming committee, because the programming committee will have a report to make to the LSB. They'll have a report to make to the public on the surveys that they get. They'll have the communications motion that passed in the governance committee earlier this year or at the end of last year, I can't remember. These committees will be having a airtime to report and to take comments from callers. So this we need. The most important thing is the community input. I don't care if they're LSB or they're non-LSB, and most of them are not LSB. Okay, so this is our customers, our clients. We need to hear what they want. And it certainly should be in the committee itself. So if this passes, it would supersede any other. The other existing ones at K and at W would have to conform and have these requirements that we have. They can have other requirements too, but it cannot be in conflict. That's what I should add. It's not limited to and not in conflict with. Okay, I'll put that. I'll add that. And then it says, where?
What section is that, Nev?
At the beginning where it says, to establish an open programming committee or programming oversight committee or conform its existing committee to provide oversight and assistance of the station's programming, including but not limited to and not in conflict with... is that confusing and not in conflict with? And then the points are like 16 or 17 points. And then at the bottom it says, and requires. Well, we can change the and to but. Requires that the manager, either he comes or he has a PD come, and at least two board members, which is the usual, which is already in the bylaws of making committees. And any person... who attends the inaugural meeting. It says any person. Okay. Maybe we should add the word non-board, non-LSB. Input is very important. Any person, including, especially non-LSB listeners, they have to be members to be a committee. The only committee that you don't need to be a membership is the CAB, but all committees need them. So especially non-LSB members who attend, we'll add that word. Then I think that fixes Raymond's problem there that he brought up at KPFK that's going on. That is very... That needs to be, and that would be changed, because you have to be more inclusive if you're going to not talk to your, or not allow your customers to give input. How do you know where to go? Okay, I'm going to rewrite that part and see what it looks like. And once we get this done, then this is a pressure for anything that is going on that's not good. This is a very subtle pressure. They don't have to, the manager and the program director does not have to follow the programming committee. The programming committee is to give assistance, help with evaluations. They don't have to follow what the programming committee says. Just it's an evidence of input from the community, not just a small group of people. Okay. Who wants the floor while I'm rewriting this? I'm just going to add those. Unless you've got some, let's just see what it looks like, and then we may touch it up a little bit more, but I don't want to wait more longer for perfection. Because each committee can come up with some good, better ideas, you know, and then share them with the other stations, right? I mean, everything should be in flux and change and getting better and better. Okay, I'm going to send this. Anybody want the floor? Yes, and please give me a list of shows that have disappeared that need to be reconsidered, because that is on the agenda for later on. I didn't plan on us hitting it today, but we might. Depends on what. Okay, I'm going to work on this and send.
Nancy, I have a question, O'Rourke. The clause you were referring to after number 16 and requires the general manager to attend or arrange the participation of the interim, the program directory committee meetings that shall occur at least monthly, at least two board members may be present. Okay. You're trying to say that the program director should be strongly urged to at least acknowledge the program council and committee and to meet with them and to report and give them written reports, etc. Right?
Oh yes, to be his attendance is required. Otherwise, it's very hard to.
You can require it all you like. That's the main. A program director is going to, you know.
Oh, yes.
I'm citing D.C. experience on that. It was, as I said, it's taken a while to get a regular participation from management at our meetings, and it's still kind of hit or miss sometimes. But anyway.
Okay, we cannot force anybody to do anything, but their actions are part of their evaluation. And another thing. Sometimes, you know, and it's been done where inaction has happened, like no evaluation of the general manager for 5 years or 10 years or whatever. This has to be, governance needs to make a clause. I mean, if the LSB can't get it done, then the PNB needs to entrust the minority faction of the LSB to get that evaluation done. I mean, and if they don't want to do it, then I guess the PNB's got to, you know, assign a committee to do an evaluation. It just cannot go on and on and on without any justice there and oversight. That's been a problem at two stations I know of, or maybe more. Let me see. Okay.
I have a question for the group. Does anyone recall whether their station manager or program director has been evaluated internally at your station in the last 10 years?
Well, I do recall that ours has been evaluated.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I recall that ours has been evaluated, And he was evaluated, and then the report was not accepted. So it's like he wasn't evaluated. But we are so behind in doing those types of things.
Who refused to accept it, Sharonda? Sharon?
The board members.
The LSB itself?
Yeah. But that was during a trying here. The first time it was done, it had been like 10 years.
10 years that the person had not been evaluated. And then the second time was more recently that they were evaluated. But, you know, none of them really went anywhere. And it's not like they're being evaluated the way they're supposed to be re-evaluated. It's like, you know, very haphazard every now and then.
Well, that's where a minority report is very good to have and send to the PNB and demand action, because you're supposed to do an evaluation every year on both the manager and the PD. When it's not
done, and nor and the programmers are not being evaluated either.
Okay. Also in this motion, we said by January 2021. So do we want to have a deadline? If they're going to make an announcement on the air, come to the, what would it be? Election of the, you don't need election. You just need to announce the committee and then let the public, people in the public who want to come and become part of the committee, and come. I mean, maybe we should say something about that. Anyway, this deadline, be thinking if you want to keep that deadline, but we've got to change January.
No, we got to change that.
Okay.
We have to change that to 22 at least.
No, by this year. I mean, I don't want to wait it two more years.
Well, this is 21.
It's only 4 months, Nancy, September till the end of December. January 2022.
I would say within 1 month of it passing should be plenty of time. What do
you think? Well, it's been 10 years, Nancy. I mean, it won't be a plenty of time, I assure you.
This is
O'Rourke to the stack. Let me just say something about what's happening in D.C. I rewrote a draft of a programmer bill of rights, I and a couple of people on a task force. We've submitted it to our program committee, who has in turn submitted it to our LSB recently. We've been asked questions like, where is this being done across the network? And I've honestly answered the question as much as best I could. We were asked the question, in evaluating programmers, which is what one of the things we are attempting to compel the program director to do, to give regular evaluations, the question arose, well, how much manpower would that, how many full-time equivalents would that entail to do this work? And, that's a pertinent question. One could say, oh, programmer directors are, you know, busy putting out fires, et cetera. But in fact, they often busy themselves with fires rather than, you know, doing, sort of the thought work and the planning work that would set the stage for these kinds of reforms. Among other things in the Programmer Bill of Rights, we simply called for a sort of a minimum treatment, you know, minimum standards of treatment of programmers and producers. IDs and emails and, you know, mailboxes, among other things. Some don't even have that. But especially it's programmer directors evaluating programs and setting forth a sort of objective basis to do so. And we are discovering those kinds of evaluation tools will probably have to be, you know, are going to have to be written. Based on, say, sort of the parameters of a program. And in the case of station management, we're discovering, we've asked around the network, and no one has sent us an instrument, an evaluation instrument for a general manager or a program director. We did receive, you know, some job descriptions that, you know, from which we would have to craft an instrument, you know, then you know, to develop a rating system, say 1 to 5 or whatever, or, you know, 1 to 10, and then engage, and then actually implement that, or see that it's approved, and then implement it, and then we'd have to, as probably come to the battle of by that time, by the time those things are put in place, a program director or general manager would try to, you know, if their purposes were not cooperative, with the progressive reform in mind, they could start to muddy the waters by getting, you know, even a minority of the LSB to, you know, start to agitate against it. And believe me, we have within our LSB and even within our program committee now people that are, you know, they refuse to acknowledge that, you know, every thought they express is meant to defend an individual rather than, you know, progress the station, at least. And they probably would never admit that charge that I've just made either. So, you know, I'm just relating my experience as to what I perceive. But nonetheless, you know, the work should continue, and we should be getting to the point where, whether it's the program committee or another committee or the entire LSB at every station, should be able to, with an instrument in hand that the general manager and the program director are both familiar with, you know, give them an annual evaluation. And that might have to include whether they're evaluating the programmers. I'm sure that would include.
Oh, yes.
Something like that.
It's their job.
So, I'm, you know, I'm not afraid to continue with this. I think we need to have, you know, be resolute and saying we know and we feel very strongly that this is for the good of every station and the good of every of our network. And it would respect both programmers and listeners by establishing these sort of as objective a criteria as we can fashion. Thank you.
Let me just say that I was on a program evaluation committee.
Yes.
Yes, Sharon. We don't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was on a programming committee of the GM years ago, and we came up with an instrument. The person that headed our committee was John Riley. Now, the second committee evaluation that we did, the recent one that we did, that was done also, he shared the information with that team as well. So we do have that. If you would like to look at it, I can give you
Absolutely.
His number, and you could probably give him a call and ask John Riley. It's 917.
Don't say the telephone number on the stream.
Okay.
The email.
Or Nancy can call me, or you can call me and get the number.
Okay, I'll talk to you later. Okay. Yeah.
Or send
okay,
it to him, and then she can distribute it.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I want to get his permission first.
Oh, okay. Oh, you know John?
Yes, I know John. Yeah.
To see the instrument itself.
Okay. Permission.
Okay.
What? I have his email.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah. Good. Because I'm sure he won't mind sharing this, because he does want he does want Pacifica to be working at its most optimum proficiency. If I'm saying it right. But, you know, it was difficult to come up with that type of instrument, but it's unfortunate that even with the instrument, we still got into a backlash of negative stuff, that things didn't move forward.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we'll see.
We'll see, because at least it'll give you something to start with, and you're probably right. If there was like a uniform piece that everybody was using instead of creating their own, like a uniform piece, it would probably, the evaluation would go much better if it was all standardized within all our stations.
Can
because
I ask
even
a question?
Yes. Yeah.
Go ahead. Is that Maria? Go ahead.
This is Sue from
okay,
KPFK, and I'm running for the LSB, but I've been with KPFK for 40 years, so I know. I recommend a programming council. Who's the chair of this committee, and may I have your email?
Yes, Sue, you have it. My name is Nancy Cyber, and I told me I'm the chair. I think you already have my email.
Nancy B something?
Nancy,
okay, thank you.
Cyber Nigel. Yeah.
Right. Okay, great. I recommend that there be a program in council. It includes at least one person from the PRA. Everybody knows what that is, right?
Well, just
no.
So,
no.
So that everyone will know.
Yes. The Pacifica Radio Archives, and at least one person for the GM or the program director, one person from the station paid staff, one person from the local state station board. All of these are one or more. The non-programmer volunteers, at least one, someone from the committees of the local LSB, at least one. Or more from the programmers, someone from the CAB or Programming Oversight Committee, one from the listener sponsor, one from the former listener sponsors, and there are ways to get those randomized from the membership department. If you want to hear from all sides and really get new out-of-the-box ideas, thank you.
Okay. The former program council had, I'm trying to remember, they had so many listeners, like one-third listeners. Well, this is at KPFD. One-third listeners, one-third staff, and one-third, one-third LSBs, one-third staff, and one-third of non-LSBs that were decided by the manager and the LSB together. So that design, it was kind of hard to keep, although we tried. A lot of staff did not like to be on the program council. There would usually be one or two that would do it, but it was very hard to get staff to do it. Okay, and this plan that we have designed is a little more open and flexible. And there was a restriction on the number of staff in the previous one that we had at KPFT because fear of control. And the CAB is not supposed to be part of any of the LSB committees. They're supposed to have an independent voice. And so the LSBs are not allowed to be on the CAB. They can go
and
watch.
What about the Programming Oversight Committee?
Well, that's what we're talking about now, Sue. We're trying to resurrect
that's-
it. It only exists at two stations right now, at WPFW in Washington, D.C., and at KPFK. But we want the whole network, all five stations, to have a programming committee. And so that's what we're working on now. Now, you said somebody from PRA, Pacifica Radio Archives. We do have a Pacifica Archives Task Force. It has not met since maybe 2014, maybe. I cannot remember when they last met. That's open to everybody.
But now we have Zoom meetings.
Yes.
Zoom
anyway,
meeting.
But we could not get, and this is when the other guy, not Mark Torres, but the one before him.
DeShazer.
Brian DeShazer. But about the time, right after he quit, then we stopped having the archive. We had 1 year, and then we had maybe one or two meetings. And then Mark said, we don't want to, get out of things like flash drives and CDs. We want to get rid of things. I'm going to go in a different format. And we didn't have any more meetings. All right. The GM and the PD will be part of it.
O'Rourke to the stack. Well, just I want to ask you a question. Sue, that list of personnel is what you're proposing be the sort of the minimal
yes.
the minimal number of fields from which you draw a programming council itself for a local.
Yes.
That's
yes.
what you're talking about. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I mean, you know, as Nancy said, given that only two of the five stations currently have anything that's akin to this, we should definitely have a list of that sort of thing. But I think we're trying to establish its reason for being and sort of mission statement with this motion. As I said, I thought sort of getting into how the membership of said councils are formed might be a little bit too much for this motion, but you know the establishment in theory of programming councils across the all five stations would be our first concern, and then properly because ultimately every one of them is going to depend on who wants to volunteer to
right.
do it. And as Nancy said, a lot of programmers, they don't want to get too far in the weeds of station politics, a lot of them, or they just don't have time. And it's certainly, I don't know how we'd incorporate archive people into, say, the D.C. or the New York Program Council. I mean, maybe
Zoom.
They would be seen as a reference or a resource. I'm done.
Zoom.
Oh, Zoom. Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, I guess I wasn't talking about the mechanics of getting their involvement. I was more talking about something else.
Getting a volunteer. They're too busy to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to be thinking about the by what time? By the end of September? deadline? What shall we put? Would somebody take over pro tem chair while I'm trying to write this out and get to everybody? Somebody? Somebody want to be chair for one moment? Lydia? Thomas? Who's not driving?
I'm not driving. But
okay,
Nancy, let me ask you. This is O'Rourke again. This motion will go to the PNB, correct?
Yes.
And it needs to,
yes.
Okay. So if it's not ready yet, but could be ready within the next week to get on the agenda of the next PNB meeting, that would be well and good. That's fine. I mean, there's a lot of issues going on. I mean, the elections right now are sort of occupying a lot of people's minds, but. And I'm not saying we can't do this, two or three things at the same time, but I still think maybe January would be our date because one, we recognize there'll be new blood injected into the station advisory committees all across the network, and a new PNB. Will be presented with, we'll see a motion already approved and, with a January start date, so to speak. I think January is reasonable and probably politically less problematic.
Start.
Go ahead, anyone, I'm done.